The urban legend that Paul McCartney had died in November 1966. That's our focus on this week's broadcast of Echoes of a Century. I'm King David McKenzie.
Yeah, well, we got two answers to that. I'll tell you in a minute. No, first of all, we're bringing out the Stamp Out Detroit campaign, which is, you know,
what about the Stamp Out the Beatles campaign?
What about it? How big are they?
When he made that wisecrack about stamping out Detroit at the Beatles' first American press conference on February 7, 1964, little did Paul McCartney realize that 5 years and 8 months later, Detroit would exact its revenge. Kinda, sorta. It began with a telephone call by Tom Zarsky, a student at Eastern Michigan University in Ypsilanti, to the Sunday afternoon radio program of disc jockey and rock impresario Russ Gibb over radio station WKNR-FM in Dearborn, a Detroit suburb. A section of that call will be heard later in this program. Zarsky wanted to know if his suspicions were true, that the Beatles were putting clues on their albums suggesting that Paul McCartney was actually dead and a lookalike had been recruited to take his place in the band. In the era of doubts over the official conclusion that Lee Harvey Oswald was the lone assassin of President John F. Kennedy, and belief that an extraterrestrial spaceship had crashed near Roswell, New Mexico, with an alien pilot inside, it took this rumor no time at all to spread like wildfire. In fact, at the University of Michigan in nearby Ann Arbor, student newspaper music critic Fred LeBour was listening to that Gibb broadcast and decided to turn his Michigan Daily critique of the just-released Beatles album Abbey Road into an exploration of the idea Zarsky had put forth. A few days later, Gibb interviewed LeBour on WKNR about his piece.
I read your article. Very interesting. And we have some other things that we've uncovered as we've been crawling around the country and transatlantic and all that scene, and also buried in the records that would substantiate the automobile accident.
Well, that's like a, you know, I don't know if that stuff is true that I wrote, because that's a record review.
What do you mean by it's a record review?
I mean, it's a record review. It's a review of Abbey Road. But, yeah, that's what I started out to do, and then it just sort of came out that way.
Right.
As a review, I think it's valid. As a news story, you know, it's probably not valid. I don't know. You know, that's the thing. I don't know. Like, there's all those coincidences and everything. It's very strange.
Pardon me?
It's very strange, you know, all those coincidences. So I can't just say it's true or it's not true. Because, boy, I just don't know.
How did you come to the fact that he had an Aston Martin? Is that what you said?
Yeah.
How did you come to the fact that that photograph down at the bottom is the supposedly the fellow that's the double?
Well, I thought that was a good thing. I thought that was a good idea. I just sort of said that. I guess I made that part up.
You made that part up.
Yeah. You see, it's a record review. And in the story sort of substantiates that. I mean, it says all the way through the story. It's just like a million clues in the story what it really is. And then, the people that took it as a review and as a song, you know, because that was sort of my idea too, is to just write a song sort of in the newspaper. The people that took it as that, you know, came out very positive for him. And it was a real nice thing for him. You know, they could sort of understand that. See, my mistake and what, you know, probably the apology that I owe some people is that I just sort of slipped the song in where they normally find the news.
What about the Brian Wilson thing? How did that come about?
Well, I knew about the hassle around Smile.
Yeah, that's true, by the way.
Yeah, oh, I know that's true, yeah. And it seemed like a real good thing to put in. It sounded sort of impressive, but it was a nice thing.
Do you think that Brian Wilson really knows anything about this Beatle thing?
I would doubt it. I would really doubt it.
Do you think Paul McCartney is dead?
I don't know. You see, there's so many coincidences. It just seems, it seems like there has to be something that's up. I just don't know.
When this rumor spread to other Midwestern universities and the Youth Counterculture Press, Gibb passed all the information along to a friend of his and a fellow disc jockey, Roby Young, at WABC in New York. Just by coincidence, shortly after receiving the information from Gibb, WABC program director Rick Sklar informed Young that WABC would not be renewing his contract, which was set to lapse in 2 weeks, but he would be keeping Young on the air for those last few nights. As it turned out, Young was in no mood to be a lame duck and wanted to get off of WABC to have some rest time before finding another job. So, on the overnight shift at WABC, on the 21st of October 1969, Roby Young started talking about the rumor. The incident guaranteed him a spot in broadcasting history. This is an edited recording of that broadcast.
Before the hour at 1 o'clock, WABC chime time. I just got a call from Georgia. Now, this doesn't mean a heck of a lot, except for the fact that the other night I got a call from Indiana. And the whole thing is about one thing. The fact that there's something very strange about the Beatle Paul. The fact that the Beatle Paul may be dead. In Indiana University, for instance, at Bloomington, there are 30 students working on a research project indicating that the Beatle Paul might be dead. I talked to them last night for an hour and a half. As a DJ on the world's largest radio station, I felt it my, business to listen to their claims. And they told me some things which shocked me. And I was up all night last night. And I'd promised myself that I would not say anything on WABC because I'm talking to 40 states right now. And there are a heck of a lot of people listening to this thing. And I'll surely get fired if I say anything unusual. But the fact is, folks, I've been fired anyhow. You will not hear my show after 2 weeks from now. It'll be off the air. And I'm not going to be cut now because it's 12:39 at night and there's nobody standing by to cut the switch. But I'm going to tell you the truth. These kids at Indiana University have mentioned something very strange about Paul. And I am going to give you the things that they have mentioned. And I hope that you will remember that I told you first because you're going to hear about this. This is making the wire services. This is making all the local radio newscasts across the country. And I know what they're talking about. It seems that there's something strange that happened to the Beatle Paul. If you will look at the Sgt. Pepper's album, the first strange thing you'll notice is that on the cover, and this may or may not be true, there's a hand over his head, somebody's right hand. This is nothing spectacular. But then you will notice, if you look to the right-hand side, there is the WMCA, which is our competition in those days. It's not now, but it was then. Welcomes the Beatles. WMCA, good guys, welcome the Beatles, right? On the other side of the Sgt. Pepper album. Okay. In the right hand of that doll is a car. The theory is that Paul the Beatle was killed or will be killed in a sports car. A white, perhaps, Corvette or something like that. I don't know what it is. But that's the doll on the front of the Sgt. Pepper's album. On the grave on the front of the Sgt. Pepper's album, there is a four-string bass, which is the instrument that Paul plays. That's on the grave. It's a left-hand bass, and that is there. I want you to notice in the Magical Mystery Tour album, the numbers that really come out, if you really get very, very high and look at the front of the album, on some, mind-bending drug. There are numbers in the title of the album. I want you also to look at the inside pictures. The walrus is a pagan symbol of death. And the walrus is holding his right hand above Paul's head. Now, what does this mean? I want you also to notice in the Beatles albums, if you will take Strawberry Fields Forever and play it at 45 RPM, take the LP and play it at 45. You will distinctly hear the words, "I buried Paul," if you play it very high. If you take "I Am the Walrus," you will hear "Services for Billy." You will hear, "Is he really dead?" And now I'm going to give you the very final thing, as I may well end my radio career. And I sure as hell hope I'm doing it on the top station in New York. And I am. If you will listen very carefully to Revolution Number 9, take it and play it on a two-track machine. After you've recorded it on a four-track machine, play it backwards, and you will hear some very strange things. You will hear things like, is he dead? You will hear some very unusual things about Paul the Beatle. And after 10 years in broadcasting, I have never felt so sure of a thing as I feel right now. But that there is something strange going on with the Beatles. And something particularly strange with reference to Paul. Why is he in a black suit with bare feet on the cover of Abbey Road? Do you know that's what they bury people in England? For instance, in Revolution Number 9, you can hear the sound of flames. You can hear crackling. You can hear a car crash. You can hear distinctly, "Let me out." And the most shocking thing of all is, you can hear, "Turn me on, dead man," if you happen to play it backwards. Now, folks, I have nothing to lose by telling you this. I'm sorry for the telephone girl. There's only one girl on the switchboard tonight at ABC, and I feel sorry for her. But I had to say this, because my voice on ABC will be silenced within 2 weeks. But if you will listen to these songs, you will hear what I said. And if you listen to the rest of the songs, you will hear even more. Union, New Jersey. Recognized, charge plans accepted. 12 and a half minutes before 1 o'clock on WABC. Robbie Young here in New York with all night music power. This is called Honky Tonk Women, number one on the survey for 15 weeks. Now it's number 10. Rolling Stones sing. Rolling Stones, 9 and a half minutes before one. WABC Chime Time, and the WABC operator can't handle all the calls. There are hundreds of them coming in. Well, I say to that, good. I'm glad the WABC operator can't handle all the calls. Maybe there should be more than one WABC operator. Here's Gary Puckett in the Union Gap at 9 before 1. And this girl's a woman now. WABC. 6 and a half minutes before 1 on WABC Radio. I should do is say, wow. I take back what I said, but I'm not going to. You tuned in late. I really said it. There is something strange going on about Paul of the Beatles. If you look at the Beatle albums, and I'd like you to be able to say that I told you first about it. There's a team of researchers out in Indiana University at Bloomington. About 30 kids working on this with me. And we spent a lot of time on the phone last night. And there's something very strange going on. You'll notice a right hand over Paul's head in every photograph since the Sgt. Pepper album. Notice the left-hand guitar on the grave. Notice the words in Strawberry Fields Forever. The words that say, "I buried Paul." The words in "I Am the Walrus." The words, "Services for Billy, send me my body." And words in Revolution Number 9 on the double album, if you play it backwards after recording it. The fire, the screams, the phrase, "Let me out, help." If you analyze Day in the Life, if you analyze When I'm 64. I'm sorry I had to say it like this, but I mean, maybe someday it'll all come out. Maybe someday you'll think I was an idiot for saying it. It happened, and I had to tell you about it. Robbie Young in New York with All Night Music Power. We'll be right back after the news.
WABC, New York.
WABC! We're just talking to Beverly Peterson of New York at 3 minutes past one, WABC Chime Time, and she says that she and her girlfriend saw Paul the Beatle not long ago in New York, within the past 2 weeks, across from, a mortuary on 85th Street. And 2nd Avenue, they think it's the Cook place, and he was dressed in black, as he is on the Abbey Road cover, and in bare feet. Now, this is how they bury people in England. He's got a whole thing there. There is something strange going on about Paul of the Beatles, in case you tuned in late and we're trying to figure it out. It's 3.5 minutes past the hour of 1 o'clock. WABC, most music time. This is Roly Young here in New York. Beatles! 5.5 minutes past the hour of 1 o'clock, WABC Chinatown. Apparently, a lot of people have heard about the controversy that I'm turning you on to about the Beatles. I'm getting calls from all over America, people who are listening tonight from New York. People have called from Ithaca. I have a call now. And all over the place. Bloomington, Indiana, would you believe, has called. There is something strange going on about Paul of the Beatles. We'll learn more about it. It's 1:06 on WABC. This is Roby Young in New York. We just heard from Jerry Green in Ithaca, New York, at WVDR-FM. And he says that he has been getting calls, just like I have been, about the strange controversy about Paul of the Beatles, the whole death thing. If you missed it, I don't have time to tell you about it now. It'll develop later, okay? Past the hour of 1 o'clock, WABC Chime Time. Also, I already said Chime Time, from Jerry Green at WVBR-FM in Ithaca. If you take on the double album, if you take the cut between I'm So Tired and Blackbird, I am told, now I haven't checked this out myself, but I am told from another DJ that you will hear, if you play it at high volume, Paul is dead now, Paul is dead now. Miss him, miss him. Now, I don't know. Last night, I stayed up until 4, 5, 6 o'clock in the morning talking to the kids at the university in Bloomington, Indiana, about the fact that, are you right, are you wrong, is it really something? And then, like at 4 in the morning, I turned on my own hi-fi set and played these cuts at slow speed, and I heard something which made me, like, you know, you hear the expression, turn your blood to ice, or something like that. It's very chilling when you hear things like, I buried Paul, and Paul is dead now, and turn me on dead man. There's something very strange going on. It may be a promotion stunt, or it may be the real thing, or it may be the Beatles trying to tell us something. I don't know what it is, but I do know this. There is something there. All right? Roby Young in New York.
Roby Young!
77 Radio. Fifteen past one. Denison is open now. Speaking to Ed Vane, is it? Ed Vane at WUVT, University of Virginia. Is that correct, Ed? Virginia Tech. Where is that located, Ed? Blacksburg. Hello, Blacksburg, Virginia. About the Beatle controversy, he says they're doing a special program on it, and he wants to know all we know, all I know. All I know is that 2 weeks ago I called Capitol Records and ordered every Beatle album. And I bought a $450 hi-fi amplifier, and I sat home, and my engineers will attest to this, and I listened to the Beatle albums, and I played them backwards and forwards, and I played them at every speed. And on the Roby Young hi-fi set, we heard strange things, folks. We heard things like I Buried Paul, Services for Billy. We heard strange things when we played Revolution Number 9 backwards, and I want you to do that. I want you to get Revolution Number 9 and play it backwards. It's from the double album. The Beatles are trying to tell us something about Paul. I don't think it is an advertising promotion stunt. I really don't. And I'm backed up by college students, groups of people all over America who are calling in tonight. And folks, this is a live show. And they're saying the same thing. There is something very strange going on with the Beatles, with reference to Paul. Did you know that the walrus was a pagan symbol for death? Did you know that? Look it up. Do you see the right hand of the walrus on those pictures in the Magical Mystery Tour? Can you see numbers if you get really high on something or other in the title of the Magical Mystery Tour? Okay, work on that, all right? It is 22 minutes before the hour of 2 o'clock. And we just heard from Rutgers University once again, Dennis Sluka. On the Sgt. Pepper album of the Beatles, if you will look in the center page, you will find OPD. That is on Paul's arm, or the costume of the person who is portraying Paul. That may mean officially pronounced dead. I am inclined to doubt that. I don't know what they do. We should ask Webb Kelly, our resident information expert, what they do on this. But that is some sort of a thing on the arm of Paul that may have something to do with it or not. Rutgers comes up with it and says, yes, they do. In the day in the life, in the Beatles, the lyrics, A Day in the Life, I saw the photograph. No one knew whether or not he was from the House of Lords. I'm paraphrasing, of course. I don't have the lyrics before me. He blew his mind out in a car. The theory is that Paul was killed in a car or will be killed in a car. And hadn't noticed the lights had changed, blah, blah, blah. And the reference to the House of Lords and Day in the Life now becomes clear after 3 or 4 years, after it's been out 3 years, I guess it is. Apparently, this means that since the Beatles were made honorary members of the OBE or OBC, what is it, Webb, when you become a member of the Order of the British Empire, says Mr. Kelly from the newsroom. That may have a reference to that. I don't know. It's very complicated. It may be an advertising stunt by the Beatles, but I don't really think it is. And we are uncovering it now, and you're hearing it here for the first time, and I'm taking time with it because I think it's important. Okay? All right. If you have anything important to say, call ABC in New York. But if you don't, if you just want to comment, please don't, because Pat just called me. There's only one girl on the ABC telephone desk. She had 350 calls in 10 minutes, and there's only the one girl, and the digital counter counted the calls, and they can't afford to put on more than one girl tonight, so cool it unless you have really something to say. And if the lines are busy, like, call back later, okay? 20 minutes before 2. Moving right along, folks. That says if you can do anything to keep them from calling, do it. Rutgers University has come up with a whole new thing here on Glass Onion, the double album, right? Beatles double album a few months ago. Glass Onion, looking up at the tulips. To see how the other half lives. I told you about the walrus. The walrus was Paul. The walrus, symbol for death. The walrus is Paul. He and I are as close as can be. Put that together. And Rutgers says, looking up at tulips from, below the glass onion, is looking up from the grave to see how the other half lives. It all ties together if you listen to the lyrics. Or maybe it means nothing. It's up to you to decide. I'm not saying one way or the other. I'm just putting the whole thing out. Because I am not going to take responsibility for this. But I'm sure as heck going to tell you everything I know. Well, after 10 years in radio, I know about, coming out on the air and saying things. I'm just trying to be neutral. So don't sue me. You have no chance. I've already checked it out with my attorney. Blood, sweat, and tears when I die. Wow. Blood, sweat, and tears, baby Clayton Thomas. When I die and when I'm gone, there'll be one child born to carry on in this world. Huh? Sort of transmigration scene there, ladies and gentlemen. Here we are with 72 WABC degree, 14 before 2 o'clock. And we're getting calls. I got a call from a guy in Patchogue, Long Island, said, oh, and I've got long distance on the other line. We had 350 calls about 10 minutes ago. I don't know what they are now. Please don't call ABC New York unless you have something definite to say. I had, last night, I found out about this beetle thing at home. I discovered it, and I talked to a series of research people at the Indiana University in Bloomington. And I said, wow, I'm not going to say anything, I'll keep it to myself. But apparently other stations are about to pick it up, and people know about it. So why not, Why not talk about it? My engineer tells me we've got calls coming in from Florida and Maine and the Midwest. So I really shouldn't talk too much now, but I will say this. We're on to something. We're on to either a very carefully thought-out promotion plot by the Beatles, or a death wish by Paul, or something very, very strange. If you tuned in late, listen to other stations. By now they should have picked it up. After I'm off the air, you'll hear about it. Something strange having to do with the Beatle Paul. But please remember you heard it here first in the middle of the night, okay? Please do me that favor, because I'm not going to be around that much longer. 12 and a half before 2, Roby Young here in New York with all my music power.
Roby Young! News 5 minutes sooner from WABC New York.
The most music on 77
WABC. WABC New York.
Love it. 5 minutes past 2 o'clock in WABC's All Night Music Park. It's raining like cats and dogs out there. Very heavy if you're driving. Please take care. 72 WABC degrees. Les Marshak here, and, you know, we've been getting some phone calls. The switchboard downstairs has been inundated regarding some speculating that Robbie Young was doing earlier this morning regarding Paul McCartney. If you were listening, you're aware of it. But please be assured that those speculations are untrue. They are untrue. Please don't call, all right? Thank you for me and from the operator, too.
The last voice you heard was that of part-time WABC disc jockey Les Marshak, who was called upon by a thoroughly ticked-off Rick Sklar to come in and take over the remainder of Robbie Young's shift that night. The original activity around the rumor in Detroit had been over a relatively small suburban radio station, but WABC, at the time, was not just the top pop music station in New York, but indeed throughout the world. Young got another New York radio gig shortly afterwards at WCBS-FM, and his chat about the rumor made sure that it became front page news in not just the East Village Other, but also the New York Times. Back in Detroit, on a program titled The Beatle Plot, WKNR-FM did an in-depth study of various alleged clues pointing to McCartney's demise, capped off with a telephone interview of John Lennon and Yoko Ono. Here are some excerpts of that broadcast.
Well, I interestingly enough, when I was in England, I did not see him.
Yonderman.
I must admit, I'm as convinced as anybody could be. But as I said before, I don't think it will be perpetrated by John.
The subject is Paul McCartney. The theme is symbolism. The thesis is death. The proposition, coincidence. It began on a recent Sunday.
And who do we have here? What's your name?
Tom on the line.
Yeah, hello, Tom. What's going down?
I was
going
to rant with you about McCartney being dead. What is this all about?
Yeah, well, let's go together.
I got Eastern Michigan.
Eastern Michigan, and you heard that McCartney was dead.
Yeah, that's right.
That's been a rumor that's been...
This program is the result of research. Hours of it, all spent probing Beatle album covers and Beatle tunes. And the wave of reports linking Paul McCartney and death, either by accident or intent. Intent that could be, in pure fact, a hoax. What you are about to hear has been prepared and produced by John Small, Russ Gibb, and Dan Carlisle. They have included pertinent visual and audible clues. A startling string of coincidences pointing toward a spiritual trip, a preoccupation with death. Here's John Small.
Russ Gibb was 30 minutes into his Sunday show when the first clue hit his telephone.
Someone got it to play in this Revolution Number 9 backwards.
Yeah.
And did you hear about that?
No.
Well, Revolution Number 9 is supposed to be...
It began in Detroit and then spread to Ann Arbor.
Hello, I'm Jonathan Miller.
Yes.
I'm kind of English, and I'm stuck in Ann Arbor for some appalling reason. Like, Keener was having sort of getting hysterical yesterday.
Yeah, right.
I didn't hear very much, but I heard some tapes of what was going on.
Right.
Do you want to get in contact with Paul McCartney?
I sure do.
Okay, well, do you want his phone number?
Yes, I sure do.
All right, now...
Fred Labor, the writer for the Michigan Daily, the University of Michigan newspaper, had no idea that his record review would turn into a story of international significance.
Wow. I read your article. Very interesting. And we have some other things that we've uncovered as we've been calling around the country and transatlantic and all that scene, and also buried in the records that would substantiate the automobile accident.
Well, that's like a, you know, I don't know if that stuff is true that I wrote, because that's a record review.
What do you mean by it's a record review?
I mean, it's a record review. It's a review of Abbey Road. But, that's what I started out to do. I think it just sort of came out that way.
Right.
As a review, I think it's valid. As a news story, you know, it's probably not valid.
Eric Clapton, guitarist of Blind Faith, has sided with John Lennon on several personal appearances.
I can't think that, you know. I think that if there was any kind of coincidental connection between any of these things, which it sounds as though there is, you know, I must admit, I'm as convinced as anybody could be, but as I said before, I don't think it will be perpetrated by John, least of all, because he's the closest person to Paul, and, you know,
Mm-hmm. I mean, the power of them are... Yeah, you know, they're very tight. They're tighter than anybody.
But you haven't seen them in 6 months, then.
Except the photographs, and he just looked as though he'd put on a little weight, but nothing, you know... Nothing extraordinary about it.
Ken Fritz, the producer of TV's new Music Scene program, put the Beatles on television recently.
Interestingly enough, when I was in England, I did not see him. I was with John and Yoko and Ringo.
But you did not see McCartney while you were there?
No.
The Isle of Wight was the setting of Bob Dylan's return to his public. It brought together the Beatles and Bob Dylan. Bert Block, Dylan's associate manager, tells of the encounter.
Met George Harrison, was staying in the house that we were in.
And that was with Dylan?
Right.
Now, what about the other Beatles? Did they show up?
I believe the day of the festival in the morning, Ringo showed up. In fact, I got photographs, you know, of the helicopter that came in and landed on the estate with Ringo and John Lennon. Paul McCartney...
Did you see him then at any time?
No.
Beatle music has strong, dynamic intent. There's no plain blues, no simple solos, and no natural easiness. Beatle music pushes, innovates, crushes all forms of what we consider to be normal. We know of the Beatle music. Let's talk of the Beatles' lyrics. The album is Yesterday and Today. And we see Paul McCartney sitting in a box, a packing box, but turn it sideways, and it looks like a casket.
And then the omnipresent open hand over McCartney. This will reappear, this hand, in many of the albums.
Something very interesting to note, that this album cover that is on the Yesterday Today is not the same cover that they first released the album with. The old cover was rather grotesque. What it amounted to was the four Beatles sitting there with decapitated dolls. In the lap of Paul McCartney, with some raw meat in the lap, is the head of one of the dolls. Ironically so, Russ, there is a hand, Paul McCartney's hand, over the decapitated doll's head. Then comes Revolver. We see the usage of an abstract art form and a big usage of black and white. Rather than the old Beatles publicity shots, we get abstract. Three of the Beatles looking forward, and Paul is looking away in an ink sketch. On the back of a Revolver, we see the use of some dark glasses on all the Beatles. Again, something new to their repertory. And shadows define Paul's form less than the other Beatles if you're a photography bug.
Sergeant Pepper's visuals are very obvious. Gaudy outfits. Implications that Epstein didn't have control anymore. Again, the hand over Paul's head. Huge drum indicating the universe. A cement bust of a minister. Obviously, a Beatles grave. There's a left-handed flowered guitar in yellow flowers spelling out Paul. A Shiva doll, which has been described to us by a professor of the Indian Department of the University of Michigan.
Let's open Sergeant Pepper's. Mustaches. All the Beatles are wearing mustaches. Possibly Paul's covering a scar that we've seen in many pictures of Paul McCartney. Now, the braid that they're all wearing is very colorful. But on Paul's braid, there is black trim. Then the OPD on his arm may mean officially pronounced dead. On the rear of the album, three Beatles looking forward, and a taller McCartney facing to the rear. If you'll look real closely at George Harrison, his finger points to Wednesday morning at 5 o'clock, indicating a time to call Billy Shears.
A reoccurring rumor, the people who have called the magic number on Sgt. Pepper's and tried to get in touch with Billy Shears have reached the number, have been given a verbal clue, and then they disappear.
Then comes Magical Mystery Tour. It's a study of visuals containing most of the message songs. First, the gigantic clue to a Beatle mystery. The front cover shows three white animals, and in the foreground, arms spread in crucifixion fashion, we find to be a walrus, who later we find out to be Paul. It is our discovery that there was a head injury and tooth injury in later clues. Here we see two large white teeth protruding from the walrus's face. Is it conceivably Paul McCartney?
Magical Mystery Tour has 24 pages of pictures. Let's point out some of the significant things and perhaps obvious visuals. Now, page 2 contains a load of people on a bus, all seemingly having a good time. And we notice that above a fat lady's hand, a sunglassed, mustached man in a Don River hat. The hands are raised in the fashion of death. Look to the back of the bus. You'll see the hands raised. The man described with the hat and mustache is identical to a picture found in the poster from the Beatles' double album. This man is Harrison, but wearing the same disguise as that picture we find in the double album set. On page 3, shows McCartney seated behind a desk as a soldier. A lip scar is more evident in this picture. A thought in passing, compare the eyebrow line to different pictures of Paul. Is it fact or imagination? Are the eyebrows different or are they not? On the desk is the sign, I was you or I was.
Page 4 appears to be a Greek fantasy with Paul holding a writing instrument in his right hand. Paul is left-handed. Page 5 gets right down to it. 4 policemen are guarding a scene from atop a cement wall. What they see is a stream of surgeons, all dressed in a commune white coat, surrounding a black walrus. That we have been clued in is Paul via glass onion. The hippo is holding Paul's bass. A white piano is an operating table. Page 6 has 2 large pictures. The top shows a man with a walrus mustache chuckling his way past a tour window, which boasts the best way to go is by MD Company. Listener clues during the weekend have hinted at MD to mean 1, pot and drugs, 2, muscular dystrophy, 3, medical doctor. The lower picture shows John Lennon in an Arlo Guthrie outfit seated next to our mustached, hatted friend.
Page 10 brings around a new significance, Russ. It's a group shot where Paul wears no shoes again. His mustache is no longer evident and the scar does not show. Page 12 and 13 show a centerfold shot, again, Paul with no shoes. Page 21 puts George Harrison in the center of a street. There's a license number from a car containing the letter L there up in the corner, which indicates in Great Britain circles that the driver is a learner. Page 23 smacks with a heavy clue. All the Beatles in white tie and tail, 3 of them sporting red flowers in the lapel, and Paul has a black. A group shot on page 24 brings back what other group shots have shown. Paul with his arms raised with a hand over the head. Apple Records says, no significance whatsoever. We cannot believe it.
The double set, The Beatles. The simplicity of the White Beatles album visually is rectified with heavy engineering and audio secrets. If Lennon is being acquitted on a charge of representing the purity of Christ or Christ himself, then the all-white album speaks for itself. The inserts let you draw plenty of conclusions. Although Paul appears to be taking an unassuming bath, his head is floating in shampoo. Now, at first glance, that's all it may seem to be. Look again. This may well indicate a brain splatter. Our friend with the mustache, sunglasses, and downriver hat appears for the third time. If by repetition only, this cat becomes significant. Is he that double everyone's talking about, or just George Harrison?
With some clever doctoring, and knowing that the Beatles can afford the most expensive photographers, isn't it strange that Paul's head is cropped off in one of the pictures? And is that blood or something on the ground in the bottom of the picture? It's either bad photography, or bad cropping, or intentional.
Abbey Road. If Revolver represents the Beatles' most abstract form, Abbey Road's visuals have to hit you in the eye. You've seen the cover printed everywhere. It's fairly obvious we're looking at a parade. A white Jesus Christ, John Lennon. A black-suited minister, Ringo Starr. An obvious corpse, Paul McCartney wearing an outdated suit, no shoes, holding a cigarette in his right hand. Paul is left-handed. George Harrison brings up the rear in a gravedigger's suit.
Is this the beginning of a passion play? The acting out of Dr. Hugh Schoenberg's Passover plot, the resurrection of Paul McCartney.
The obvious VW is on the left-hand side of the album cover. On the license plate, 28IF. If Paul would have been living, he would have been 28. If he is alive, he is 28. A police hearse decorates the right-hand side on Abbey Road. There is a police station not far from where the picture-taking session was. A close inspection of a London city map shows that what we thought was a graveyard is simply a parking lot, and Paul's house is not far from the picture-taking area. Now, are all these things coincidences? Are we being duped into believing all of this? Apple Records seems to want us to believe it. But we don't. The glass on you.
I told you about strawberry peel. You know the place where nothing is real. Well, here's another place you can go.
Fist in the face of clues, Glass Onion, the first song where we get a major song saying, there's a clue. Oh yeah. Here's a clue for you all, the walrus is Paul. The fool on the hill, man, he's still living there still, man, listen to me. The walrus and I are as close as can be.
I told you about the fool on the hill. I tell you, man, he's living there still. Well, here's another place you can be.
Glass Onion, a big clue song. The walrus is Paul, man. The walrus is Paul.
Number nine.
It isn't always necessary to hear lyrics of the Beatles' music in a forward motion.
Number nine was the first big clue.
Only difference is you split channels and you play things backwards. And you get this. Number nine. Turns into
Yonderman.
You will have to listen terribly closely. You will be hearing this on a split channel. A gurgle, a scream. He hit a light pole. We better get him to see a surgeon. And then a scream.
So anyhow, he went to the dentist. Instead, he gave him a pair of teeth that weren't any good at all. Then a car horn. My wings are broken, and so is my hair. I'm not in the mood for words. Then more gurgling. Sounds of war. Find the night watchman. A suit. It must be a louse. A fine natural imbalance. Must have got it between the shoulder blades. And then we hear the twist. The Watusi. The El Dorado. Listen awfully closely.
So anyhow, he went to the dentist instead of getting a pair of teeth, which wasn't any good at all. So instead of that, he joined the bloody man he went to see.
About the fate of Paul McCartney.
No, it's a joke, isn't it? I mean, Paul isn't dead, you know, and if he was, we would have told you, you know. We'd be the first to know.
The doctors,
he's had a baby. He's recording music for Ringo's film and producing Mary Hopkins, so he's very much alive.
Well, how did the rumors affect both of you at this point?
It's a joke to us. It's just a joke.
It's so hard to believe that something like this would be going on, similar to like a James Dean thing.
I can't understand it, because I can understand the James Dean kind of, he still lived, crippled, but won't come out, you know. I mean, there's some kind of idea you could guess, well, maybe, maybe.
Yeah.
But Paul McCartney couldn't die without the world knowing it.
Mm-hmm.
The same as he couldn't get married without the world knowing it. It's impossible. He can't go on holiday without the world knowing it. How could he die without everybody knowing it?
Paul McCartney is in England now. Is he at home, or is he on a holiday, or what, John?
He's not on holiday. He's working. He's recording a group called the Ivies, but doing some background music for Ringo's film, The Magic Christian.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to be plugging my own stuff, not Paul. So come on, let's get going.
Well, since you're doing a lot of plugging, what is John Lennon up to?
Well, we've got a new single, folks, called Cold Turkey, which is out in your shop shortly. We've all had cold turkeys. Don't believe the rumors about this one either. We have a Plastic Ono, that's the Plastic Ono band, Cold Turkey. John and Yoko, Eric Clapton, Klaus Voormann, and Alan White. We have an album, a live album of the Plastic Ono band, which we made in Toronto, Canada, the Rock and Roll Revival, which goes from blue suede shoes into sheer madness at the end on the other side. So that's the product. And we also have a new John and Yoko album, which isn't Plastic Ono, which is our more freaky stuff, as you call it. The follow-up to Mike of the Lions, which did very well in the States. And it's called The Wedding Album, which consists of an album and lots of pictures, bits, cartoons, drawings, photographs. It's more like a book of the record, and that comes out in about a month. So we have two albums and a single, folks.
Yoko, how do you feel about all this excitement?
Well, I mean, you know, we've always been productive, and actually, the thing is that get so many ideas every day that it's very, very difficult for us to sort of not be constipated, in a sense that there's so much backlog work, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, for us, you know, we are on smart at this point. It's not half as much as we want to really bring out, you know.
It's nice to be able to produce a single every day and an album once a week, yeah. Like a color supplement, you know. That'd be really groovy.
Listen, how do you people gain all the ambition, I guess that's the word, and desire, and magnificent, don't you?
Let me tell you. Everybody has all the ambitions. Everybody's full of ambitions.
Yeah.
And it's like, once I gave George the advice of on songwriting, so when you start one, finish it. And I think I got the advice from Paul, or working with Paul. But it's like anything, if you have an idea, the best way is to try and do it right away, otherwise you won't do it, and that's called ambition, you know.
Ambition is a wrong word, really, because in case it's wrong, because, you know, I mean, like us all, we're always just doing something natural, you know. And the thing is that it's almost like a physical thing. I mean, you know, if you don't eat, you know, you feel hungry, you know. That's it, so you want to eat, it's like that. And it just comes very naturally to him, because, like, he has 20 songs in his mind, you know. I mean, he doesn't want to clog that in his mind, he just has to get it out. But it's more basic than, you know, so-called ambition or anything. Not that kind of social state sort of thing.
John, let's go back to talking about the music of the early days, and if you'll permit me to go and address ourselves back to this Paul McCartney rumor and death, if you will. As a matter of fact, let's talk all about this symbolism that's going down in these albums, and address ourselves also to the possibility of death and what you recognize in these albums.
Well, I tell you, I'm not aware of any of them, you see. I only read about them this morning in the paper,
uh-huh.
And I can't remember them. Something about Sgt. Pepper album cover and Abbey Road album cover.
Yep.
I don't see the connection, or how Paul could have been dead. We made Sgt. Pepper 4 years ago, you know.
John, I understand the cover for Cold Turkey is... we might consider that to be symbolic if we get into it.
This is the cover for Cold Turkey,
yeah.
Right? And this is the advert we're using. Now, it's two skulls, which is, what are they called? X-rays that were taken of us in hospital after we had a car crash. Now, by the time this gets to America and the Deep South, and the DJ gets it, he'll say, who is this finally? It's Paul McCartney's skull. You know, but it's me and Yoko, actually, and I'm using it to advertise our latest record as the sleeve cover. But when you read that into it, by the time it's got to New Orleans and the DJ's looking for something to talk about, he'll say that this is a sign of death and that Paul is gone, or John and Yoko are dead, you know.
But what about the line on the Sgt. Pepper, I will bury you?
On Sgt. Pepper, the same as the obscenity that was meant to be on a loop at the end of Sgt. Pepper didn't exist.
John, I find it hard to believe that some people are supporting this rumor that's going around here, that if you play some of your records backwards, there are some messages to it, and people can hear these. What do you have to say about the backward movement of these records?
Sure, if you play anything backwards, you're going to get a different connotation, because it's backwards. I've no idea what Beatles records sound like backwards. I never play them backwards.
In other words, you're saying there really is no death wish or any death moment in all these Beatles records.
The connection besides some of these things Paul's death.
Could some of these things have been like a death rumor to Paul's death back there in 1966?
Well, how did we take the photograph for Abbey Road with me with a beard and looking as I do today? And Paul looking as he does today, walking across the road, when he'd been dead since Pepper. What did we do? Stuff him and shave him? You know, or what? How could we do it? I don't understand what it's about at all, you know. Paul isn't dead. We don't often sing or refer to death, I don't think so. And I don't...
What about the Abbey Road thing, John, where the bare feet of Paul McCartney sort of would indicate death to some.
That's the first time I've ever heard of it, you know. I mean, so what? I mean, Paul walked barefoot across the road because Paul's idea of being different is to look almost straight but just have his ear painted blue, you know, something a little supple. He liked to go, when we did press conferences, we all were a bit like that. We used to go on stage with just, say, one polythene bag on one foot and nobody might notice it, just us would be laughing. So for Paul, he decided to be barefoot that day, walking across the road. But when he first glanced at the album, it looked like the Four Beatles or whoever walking across fully dressed. But that's his little gimmick, that's all. Yeah, I didn't even notice till I got the album. I didn't notice on the day he was barefoot. We were just wishing the photographer would hurry up, and it's getting too many people are hanging around. It's going to spoil the shot, and let's get out of here. We're meant to be recording, not posing for fetal pictures, you know. That's all we were thinking. And I was muttering, come on, hurry up, now keep in step. And all that, you know. And he said I was wearing a white religious suit, you know. So, I mean, did Humphrey Bogart wear a white religious suit? All I've got is a nice Humphrey Bogart suit, you know. What's religious about this? A George is dressed as an undertaker. And rubbish. And Ringo or something. You know, it's just insanity, but it's great plug for Abbey Road.
It's just coincidence that you dress the way we do on your album covers.
What motivates you to wear what you wore today? As your station controller said, we need a publicity handout of all the DJs on the program, on the radio. You decide that morning what to wear for the photograph. I decided to wear a white suit, and we all decided individually what to wear for that day for the photograph. So,
in essence, John, what you're saying about the Beatle greatness, and it is great.
Thank you.
In essence, because of this greatness, John, that the Beatles themselves have become the essence of this great rubber.
Yeah, it's just all that mysticism, like James Dean is still alive in a chair somewhere and that Bob Dylan had died. I mean, but you can understand the Dylan rumour a bit more because he had that big crash and nobody knew where he was, you know. It's all that intellectualizing or looking for hidden meanings, you know, it's just gone crazy, that's all.
John, has this really affected you mentally, physically, the same with Yoko Ono? How has this affected you?
It's water off a duck's back, you know. It's just the most stupid rumor I've ever heard. It sounds like the same kind of guy that blew up my Christ remark, where the remark had been out for 6 months in England before anybody had said anything about it, and this guy blew it up.
Eventually, most of those who had put credence in the rumor came to their senses. And Paul McCartney continues to enjoy massive commercial success to this day, alive. Dave Marsh, who was then writing for the Detroit-based rock magazine Cream, suggested in the 1970s that McCartney was not dead, but when he reads the reviews of his albums, he often wishes he were. And in subsequent years, other rock stars were similarly rumored to have faked their deaths to somehow get out of the limelight. Ray Manzarek of The Doors has noted those who suggest that bandmate Jim Morrison faked his death, but retorts that he doesn't think so since Jim hasn't picked up any royalty checks lately. And in my days as an oldie disc jockey, there was a bizarre report that Elvis Presley had been seen at a fast food restaurant in Kalamazoo, Michigan, years after his death in 1977. My on-air reaction was to joke that I thought it was possible that Presley was indeed still alive and making a living by appearing at a roadhouse outside Fort Collins, Colorado, impersonating himself, and doing such a lousy job that nobody caught on to the ruse. That concludes this week's broadcast of Echoes of a Century. This program was an independent production by Doll Shoe Radio Creations, copyright 2006. Produced in the studios of WLSU La Crosse, an affiliate of Wisconsin Public Radio on the La Crosse campus of the University of Wisconsin. I'm King David McKenzie. Thanks for listening. I hope that you'll be joining us again at the same time next week. Until then, remember, fear and God do not inhabit the same space.